This is the Christmas season, and just about everybody is going to give you a message on the birth of Christ, but we're not going to do that. We're going to do a little different today. We're going to give you a message with regard to the Virgin Mary. And I want you to Luke chapter 1, look with me if you will, beginning at verse 26. I'm going to read down through verse 38. Would you please stand in respect to the Word of God? Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Notice, if you will, and in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's conception. So keep that in mind. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Shall we pray? O Lord, this morning give us listening ears, attentive minds, and open hearts as we look again for a moment or two in thy blessed word and find these great truths that are set forth on almost every page of the Word of God. How glad we are, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. How glad we are, Lord Jesus, that thou art in the throne at the majesty on high at this hour. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you indwell every one of us that know thee as Redeemer and Friend. And all we pray, sanctify this service, make it acceptable in thy sight, and continue, Lord, to be with those that are laid aside and could not be with us, and work out thy purpose there as only thou art able. Help us to go away from here this morning rejoicing, because thou hast met with us, and we have sat in thy presence. If there's anyone here in this room today that doesn't know thee, open their hearts, Lord, because only thou dost know. And Lord, we pray, open their hearts, and bring them under conviction, and show them that thou art their Redeemer. Oh, bring it to pass, even today, as it please thee. We ask it in our Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our subject this morning, the faith of the Virgin Mary. Now today we're going to look at Mary and see in her what a real saint of God is all about. Mary deserves more recognition from the Christians than she receives. The Catholics have made her equal and even above Christ in many respects, and that was wrong. And the Catholics even went so far as to say that she was immaculately conceived, so therefore she had no sin, which is absolutely not so. And so the Catholics have done this. They have given her a place that she doesn't deserve, and then the rest of the so-called Christian people have chosen to do this. Most of them ignore her. You don't find much about the birth of Christ, about Mary in the birth of Christ at this hour. Well, we can't have Christ without Mary. And we find very clearly God did this deliberately. And so we find that this morning, for a few moments or two, I want to share with you the faith of the Virgin Mary. Mary was a real saint. And we need to understand a little bit more about her than ever before. Now, I'm not going to dwell a great deal upon her personage. I'm going to dwell a great deal upon the doctrines of grace that are found in this portion of the Word of God. Most people don't even understand what they are. Even so-called sovereign grace people. And I find out that many of them do not know. But as we look at Mary this morning, I want you to notice. First thing we're going to see is God's effectual call to the individual. Now there are two calls in the Scripture. One is a general call that an individual can turn down. And a lot of people do that. The second one is the effectual call that when that call is given, that individual not only cannot turn down, but I'll tell you right now, they don't want to turn it down. There's a fear put in their heart that God will pass them by. And so what happens? They become very interested in the things of the Lord. Now, in God's effectual call, these things happen. First of all, the angel Gabriel came upon her suddenly and unexpectedly. Mary didn't know he was coming. But in the sixth month, we read, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. All right? Now, what do you find here? In God's effectual call, it does what? It comes suddenly and unexpectedly. Now, you can't sit there and preach, and when I'm preaching, I can't say that you're going to receive the effectual call. I don't know. But when God calls an individual, He comes upon that individual as the angel Gabriel came upon Mary. He comes upon that individual unexpectedly, and I'll tell you something else. It's sudden. One moment the individual is, you might say, unconcerned. The next moment what happens? They get concerned. Now let me show you that from the Word of God, if I may. Take your Bibles now and turn to Acts chapter 16. And God's method hasn't changed today. It's the same as He did before, and it's the same as He's doing at this present hour. In Acts chapter 16, I want you to notice. Here you have God's effectual call in verses 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, what do you have here? Here's God's effectual call again. It came suddenly. It came unexpectedly. And then I want you to notice, it came through a messenger of God. With regard to Mary, it was the angel Gabriel. And one reason it was that way, because they didn't have the New Testament. But with regard to the Apostle Paul, what happened? Paul was preaching, and what did God do? God opened her heart. And I'll tell you this, beloved, He's done the same thing to you if you're converted. There came a time in your life that what happened? You became definitely interested in the things of God. Now, how come? Because God gave you an effectual call. And you're not satisfied until that call reaches down and brings you to a saving knowledge of Christ. All right, go back to our text again and look at the second thing about Mary, if you will. We find not only did God's effectual call come upon her suddenly and unexpectedly, but we find the second thing was this. It caused her to be what? To be greatly troubled. You say, what are you talking about? In Luke chapter 1, notice, if you will, and we find in verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. All right, now what are you talking about? The angel Gabriel said to her, Mary, he said, you're blessed of God. She didn't know what he was talking about. But she was greatly troubled, and we find that word troubled means this. She was agitated greatly. It means to be disturbed. And then she was troubled where? In her mind. And that's exactly what happens in God's effectual call. An individual becomes agitated and greatly disturbed. And I'll tell you why. They were experiencing something, as Mary was. She was experiencing something that was taking place. It never happened before. And I'll tell you right now, it'll never happen again. Now the same thing is true with God's effectual call. This takes place in Holy Spirit conviction. And what disturbs me so much is this. Individuals in our churches, they walk down the aisle, and I'll tell you right now, they take the preacher by the hand, and by a matter of fact, they say this, I'm accepting Jesus as my Savior, but I'll tell you this, there's no agitation in their mind. It becomes what we call a mental assent to a given truth. And beloved, that's not the effectual call. When God gives the effectual call to the individual, I'll tell you right now, that individual gets troubled. And then the second thing is, she reasoned in her mind, what's going on? Well, if God's given you that effectual call, you went through the same thing. You reason in your mind, what's going on? What's happened? Something has taken place that had never happened before. And I'll tell you this, it'll never happen again. Because this is what the Holy Spirit of God does in conviction. when he convicts the sinner of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment to come, I'll tell you right now, that sinner can't remain in the same equilibrium that he was before the Holy Spirit dealt with. And this is God's effectual call. Then we find also, the third thing is this. Mary was confronted with the impossible. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, look at verse 31, or verse 30 and 31. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All right, now notice. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? All right, the angel confronted her with the impossible. You say, what are you talking about? Follow me closely now. Mary was not just a young woman. She was a young virgin. Now, a lot of preachers came along and say that she was a teenager. I can't find that in Scripture, and I've looked high and low for it. How old Mary was, I don't know. But I do know this. She was a virgin. No man had ever touched her. She was absolutely pure and clean as far as her virginity was concerned, even though she still was a sinner. She had never indulged in any kind of illicit sex or anything like that because she was a virgin. All right, now what happened? We find very clearly God confronted her with the impossible. He said, Mary, he said, you're going to have a baby. Well, she never knew a man. She didn't know a man at that time. She was a spouse to Joseph, but they had not yet come together. Because in those days, when an individual is espoused to another person, it's like an engagement. But I'll tell you right now, they never lay a hand on the opposite sex until the day of consummation. And so Mary said right away, she said, how can this be? She said, I don't know a man. All right? Now, when God deals with the sinner with the effectual call, this also takes place. The sinner is told to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sinner can't. You say, what are you talking about? All right? If you repented and believed in Christ, it's because God gave you repentance, He granted you repentance, and He granted you faith to believe. You didn't exercise it of your own will. You exercised it under the power of God. And God enabled you to repent, and God enabled you to believe. And then when the effectual call comes, we are confronted with the impossible. And I'll tell you right now, one of the impossible things that an individual faces, and that is it, that individual becomes a lost sinner before God. Now, if an individual has never stood before God as a lost sinner, then put it down. They've never been converted. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I ask you a question this morning. Have you ever stood before God as a lost sinner? When you're lost, you don't know where you are. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And I remember, I don't know if I told you the story before or not, but there's a man and his son that were up snowmobiling. And what happened was, they got lost. And so they left their snowmobile, and this is what they did. They went around and they said, well, let's try this way. And what happened? Well, after a period of 3 or 4 hours, what did they do? They just made a big circle. They came right back to where they were. They were lost. They didn't know how to get out. And by that time, there were search parties looking for them. And so what they did was this. They had to stand and wait. And this is what they did. They had some gas left in their snowmobile, and they took it out and they built a fire. And they were gathered around that fire to keep warm and everything like that, waiting until the individuals who were searching for them would come and find them. And sure enough, after some time, what happened? There was a call coming. They said, are you all right? And they said, yes, we're all right. All right, they were found. But I'll tell you this, they couldn't go any further than what they were. And a lost sinner, when God makes that sinner lost, I'll tell you right now, that sinner can't do anything except cry and plead and wait for God to save him. And this takes place in the effectual call. But then I want you to notice, the fourth thing was this. Mary was comforted by the Word of God. You say, what are you talking about? She was a practical girl. In verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? All right? How can I be saved when I can't repent and believe? The same thing happened to you as happened to Mary, because look at what it says. The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now notice that. You see, she was comforted with the word of God. Mary did what? Mary heard and believed. And I'll tell you something else. The same thing happens to you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is why the Word of God has to be proclaimed and preached in all our pulpits like never before. But this takes place in the effectual call. She's comforted by the Word of God, because what tells the sinner this? All right, as I was talking with a young man some time ago, he said, "I know the Lord's dealing with me," but he says, "How do I know the Lord will answer me?" Well, I told him these words. I said, "You go home," and I said, "You look up John 6:37." I said, "I'll quote it to you, but I want you to go home, look it up. This is what it says, 'All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.'" And I pointed out to him, I said, "You come to Christ as a poor lost sinner, and I said, I'll guarantee you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ will not turn you down." And that's true every time, isn't it? And that was true with you. If the Lord's ever really done a work in your heart, all right, then the fourth or fifth thing was this: Mary consigned herself to the will of God. Look at what it says. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now here we are. What did she do? She was resting upon the word of God. And are you listening? You and I are in the same category. What are you talking about, preacher? The Lord Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. The word of God is the assurance of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is all that he says he is. How do we know? His word tells us so. And we rest upon him, and we rest upon his word. And I'll tell you this, between the two of them, we can never go wrong, can we? And so we find this is what takes place in the effectual call. Now, all I've done is describe what happened to you, if you ever really got converted. It may have taken place suddenly, it may have taken place, you might say, as so quickly you didn't understand it, you just remembered one thing, you needed to know the Lord God of heaven, and God was dealing with you, and then what happened, I'll tell you this, you cried out unto the Lord to have mercy on you, and he did so, alright, the reason you did it, because it was a God's effectual call to your heart. Alright, but now there's another thing I want to show you. Let's look for a moment or two at the faith of the Virgin Mary. Now, the Catholics don't believe that the Virgin Mary was ever a sinner. But she was. I'm going to show that to you in just a few moments. We find in the faith of the Virgin Mary right here, when she said these words, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, here's the faith of Mary. Number one, she perceived what was involved. Now, you say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Number one, what was involved was this, was the loss of her reputation in the eyes of the people round about her. Well, what are you talking about? Well, today we have no shame. Well, when I was growing up, we had what they call the Evangeline Home in Michigan. And that's where the pregnant teenage girls would go. And after them, when they got pregnant and they didn't have anybody look after them, all right, they would put them in that Evangeline home, and they would stay there. And they would go to school there, and everything else. They weren't allowed to go to school in the high school and everything like that, and I think they were right in so doing. Because I look at it this way. If a teenager is going to play adult games, they ought to suffer the adult responsibility. I know people don't agree with me on that. But they don't have to. But anyway, this Evangeline home was known, and we find what happened was this. They would go there and have their baby, and most of the time they'd give it out for adoption. All right, now look at Mary. What happened to her? Why do I tell you this? When a teenage girl got pregnant in my day, I'll tell you right now, it was a shame and a disgrace. I'll never forget one of the shocks I had when I was teaching school up there as a substitute teacher. I came in this room and I looked at this girl and I knew her. And I'll tell you, she must have been about 4 or 5 months because she was just as swell as she could be. And I turned to the teacher. I said, so-and-so's pregnant. Oh, no, no, she's not pregnant. She just got a tumor. Well, the tumor wound up to be an 8-pound boy. And so I think it was kind of a strange tumor, wasn't it? But I'll tell you right now, she went to school. She was with the rest of them. And then when she came back, she would sit back and talk to some of those teenagers and tell them what it meant to have a baby. Well, I say right now, there was no shame there. Now, Mary faced this. Mary knew what was taking place. She perceived what was involved. Number one, there was the loss of reputation concerning herself. Then there was the second thing. Take your Bibles now and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 22, if you will. And let me show you what it says. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 22. And we find the Word of God brings this out for our learning. And this is something a lot of people today don't seem to understand. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, and we find verses 23 and 24, these words, listen to it. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city, and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of the city, and ye shall stone them with stones, that they die. The damsel, because she cried not being in the city, and the man because he had humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. Now what do you have here? This is what Mary faced. The scripture says she was espoused or betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. All right, now if Mary turned up pregnant, this is what took place. She became a pregnant girl, all right. This is what she was confronted with. Not only the loss of her own reputation, but there was also the confrontation with regard to the law. Because this is what they would do. They would bring her out in front of the village, and they would try to find out who was the man that was responsible for her death, for her being pregnant, and then both of them would be put to death. This is what the law demanded. You see the faith of Mary? She perceived what was involved. And then the third thing about it was this. There's also the great possibility of losing Joseph. Now, Mary loved Joseph. And we find Joseph was minded to get rid of her. Well, how do you know that? Turn back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. And look at what it says in Matthew chapter 1. And beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You see that? Now, this is what Mary faced. But are you listening? It didn't make any difference to her. Because this is what happened. She proceeded to rest upon the Word of God. Now, the angel told her, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. You're going to bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. He shall be great and everything like that. And the God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And Mary said, how can this be, seeing I know not a child? And then the angel told her. And this is what she rested upon. She proceeded to rest upon the Lord's Word. Now, wait a minute. How do you know that? Well, turn the page, if you will, to Luke chapter 1, and look at me at verse 46. Here's Mary's praise. And here she recognized, not only did she rest upon the Word of God, but I'll tell you something else. She recognized the great blessing that God had blessed her with. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now the Catholics don't believe that. But it's in the Word of God. It's even in their Bible. And we find it still so. Now notice. Notice the praise of the Lord. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You see her praising the Lord there? Now how could she do that? Because she believed what God said. And we find when this took place, what happened? We find she said not only consigned herself to the Word of God, but we find also she recognized that whatever men would say, think, or even do unto her, the blessing of God was upon her. And you know, we need to be that way ourselves, don't we? Whatever takes place, we need to recognize very clearly, Lord, You've blessed me. You've blessed me so much in my salvation that You've granted me Thy salvation. And You've blessed me so much. And I know that You're going to take care of me. And that's the way Mary was. And you see, this is her faith. But then, let's look at the third thing for just a moment. Go back to Luke chapter 1 again, if you will. And let me show you. The overshadowing of Mary here is a picture of our redemption. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, what in the world do you have here? All right, here's God's picture of salvation. I know it's not preached today, but it doesn't change it any. It's there. All we need to do is look at it and see it for ourselves. Now notice, if you will, the overshadowing of Mary is a figure or a picture of our salvation. Notice verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now let's stop right here. Here you have what happens. In salvation, nobody can be saved apart from the power of the Holy Ghost. No man can confess Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Alright? For us to believe that Jesus Christ is all that He is and to be saved, alright, the Holy Ghost has to do the same thing to us that He did to Mary. He came upon her and the Holy Ghost came upon earth, upon us. And He does the same thing today with regard to redemption. No individual is saved apart from the Holy Ghost, and don't ever get away from that. And the thing we have to recognize is this. We have to recognize when God is really dealing with people and when He's not. And if He's not, there's no sense of us trying to put any pressure on that individual because it's not going to do a bit of good. And so we have to wait and see. And that means it takes time. And I'll tell you right now, it takes time and it takes patience on the part of the individual who's dealing with an unsaved person. Now notice again, if you will, in verse 35. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Then next. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Now what in the world are you talking here? Here you have the Holy Spirit of God exerting creative energy upon the womb of Mary and impregnating it. Now listen carefully. In the conception of a man and a woman, when the man and the woman have a relationship with each other, there are hundreds of sperms that are delivered by the man. There's hundreds of them. But are you listening? Only one will penetrate the egg. And when that takes place, every other one is rejected. And so when the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, what did He do? He impregnated her womb with the seed, which is the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, as we know. And you have here the humility of the Lord Jesus. He became, as it were, a sperm. And when He did that, it penetrated the egg of Mary, and from then on, her womb was closed to everything else. And that's true today in the physical realm. And people, they don't seem to understand that, but we find there's a planting of the seed, and this has to be done, and this takes place. Always remember one thing. Before an individual can be born again, there's got to be a conception. Now that conception takes place unknown to the individual. You can, if you ask, when we get to glory, you may be able to ask Mary and say, well, when is it you conceive? She'll tell you, I don't know. A woman does not know when she conceives, and a man does not know when the woman conceived until sometime afterward. And this is what God does. And we find in the salvation of a sinner, what do you have? God plants the sinner within the individual, and the sinner, and I should say, plants the seed within the individual, and the seed is the Word of God. This is why no individual is ever going to get saved without the Word of God. And this is why the devil is so busy doing what? Trying to destroy the Word of God by all these various perversions that are taking place. All right, now notice. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. All right? There was the conception. There was the planting of the seed, which united with Mary, as it does with the soul of a sinner when God impregnates it. And we find also what ten takes place. All right? Then there comes what? The growth and the development and the new birth. Now, where in the world do you find that? All right, turn to Luke chapter 2, and you'll see the growth and the development with regard to Mary. In Luke chapter 2, we find, beginning at verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, for he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." There you have the growth and the development. And as I've said before, a woman can't hide the fact that she's pregnant, and a sinner can't hide the fact either that God's dealing with him if God is really dealing with him. You can't hide it because, as I've said before, I'll say again, God doesn't save a sinner in the back alley. He brings us out and we are made to see. When Mary was with Joseph and Joseph came back and saw her and saw that she was pregnant, he was minded to put her away. But the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, "Fear not, that which is born of her is of the Holy Ghost." What Joseph also believed, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, he refused to put Mary away. He protected her, he provided for her, and he defended her against these vicious tongues that were no doubt speaking. And he did not allow them to bring her in front of the village and stone her to death because he believed what God said. And what do you have here? Well, all right, you have the coming forth of life. Mary brought forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said before, I'll say again, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was born on the stable floor. He was laid in a manger. He wasn't born there, he was laid there. That meant after his birth, he was wrapped up and put in that manger. And it says that more than once in the second chapter of Luke. And we find also, now listen, there was a coming forth of life. And are you listening? This took place but one time. Christ was born of the seed of the woman but one time. Your salvation and mine takes place but one time. That's all. For us to be born again, we'd have to go back, and for us to be born again, the Lord Jesus Christ would have to die, and he would have to die again, and not only that, he would have to be born again. No, sir. It takes place but one time. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the seed of woman one time, and redemption takes place in the heart of an individual but one time. All of you here today, if you're saved, you can go back to the time that God saved you. You may not remember the hour, the second, or the minute, but I'll tell you right now, you remember where you were and when the Lord God of heaven reached down and delivered you. You know that, and you know it took place but one time. And I'll tell you something else. It'll never take place again. Then last of all, what do we see? We find the result and praise that glory, and the glory goes to God. Look again, Mary, and with Mary, if you will, chapter 1. And look again, if you will, at verse 46. "And Mary saith, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For from behold henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." You see her praising the Lord? Now I'm going to ask you a question. In your salvation, who gets the glory? The man or God? How many times do you hear, "I'm so glad so-and-so came along, so-and-so led me to Christ"? Was so-and-so getting the glory? But salvation is for the glory of the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. There is no salvation apart from it. And then we see very clearly, Mary rejoiced in the Lord God of heaven. Now let me close with this, if I may. Mary was conscious of what took place. And I'm going to tell you this. What took place affected her life from then on. You say, what are you talking about? Well, her statement to Elizabeth is found in Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 through 56. But then I want you to notice, she lived a life of sanctification. In Luke chapter 1, and we find again, verse 38, listen to what it says. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. All right, she had a testimony here. She was depending upon the Lord. She did that until she died. In John chapter 19, if you will, look with me at verse 25. And we find here in John chapter 19, a beautiful sight in one sense of the word and a sad sight in another sense. In John chapter 19 and verse 25, we read these words. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There's your three Marys. All right, now you look at it with you, Mary. Her position at the cross was this. She saw the son that she brought forth dying on her behalf. He was her redeemer, because she said, my soul rejoices in God, my redeemer. And then not only did she wish her testimony here, she stood at the cross. The disciples fled. She had more backbone than they did. And then we find also her devotion was seen very clearly in her prayer life. Go back to Acts chapter 1, if you will, and look at me at verse 4. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, notice what it says for our learning. Again, we read these words. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then, notice, we find very clearly, skip down if you will, and look with me at verse 13 and 14. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Bilotis and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. There you find Mary is a good classic example for us to look at and say, Lord, I'm so glad what you did with her is set forth, because with her we rejoice because of the fact that you chose her and you saved her, just like you chose me and you saved me. And her life from then on was a life of sanctification by her testimony, her position at the cross, and her devotion was seen in her prayer life. Now let me ask you a question. Are we like that? We ought to be. Someone might say, well, I'm not like I should be. I know we're not. But let's improve, and let's look at this godly person again and say, Lord, help us. Help us to be like this example is set forth before us, trusting your word, depending upon you, come what may, sink or swim, live or die. And then her devotion was seen in her prayer life. And oh, what a wonderful example God has set forth before us, not only in this godly woman, and this would make a good Mother's Day sermon, wouldn't it? But we find very clearly, what is it? It's something here that I wanted to show you, the great truths that are found in the Word of God that are set forth. God's effectual call, the faith of Mary, and then the picture of our redemption. And it's set forth right here in this what we call the Christmas story. Oh, I hope and pray that all of you receive the blessing from our lesson this morning. Shall we stand? Our Father today, thank you again for this opportunity and privilege. And, O Lord, we just pray, help us. Help us to be better servants of thine. And, Lord, to do what you want us to do. Oh, how glad we are that, Lord Jesus, you came, born of the Virgin Mary, and born, Lord, that we might live forever. How glad we are that you came to us in that effectual call. And, Lord, how glad we are that you redeemed us. And what a wonderful redemption you have bestowed upon us. Oh, help us to appreciate Thee more and serve Thee better. We ask You, Lord Jesus, for Thy sake. Amen.